We're on Daf Kuf Nun Hey Amid Beis, the Mishnah about 10 lines down from the top. Ein Ovsim, we don't force feed Es HaGomol, the camel, Al Yidei Tchivas Ochel Rav L'Toch Grono Bal Karcho. And we'll see exactly what the Easter is all about later on, but we don't force feed and cram the food down the camel's mouth in, you know, huge quantity. And the Mishnah reflects on perhaps a common practice that was customary back for camel drivers to stuff their camels enough food that lasted for 2 or 3 days. V'lo darsim, and we don't cram it. Again, what does this add? He force feeds perhaps barley down its throat. I don't know the difference between ovsim and darsim. Maybe it's a difference in terms of the amount. Anyway, these are prohibited on Shabbos because they entail excessive and unnecessary exertion. This is Tirchi Yisera. And the Rambam adds another perspective here. We're afraid that he might come to crush beans, which would be Meleches Tochen, or knead flour, which is also Meleches Tochen, or perhaps Lash. The Mishnah continues, Aval Mal'itim Es HaGomol, which means that we can put food down its throat. Now, we have to get more clear about that because the Gemara is going to have to explain the difference between avsa, which is prohibited, and halota, which is permissible. The ein mamirin es hagolim, and he's not going to fatten the calves, ava mal'itin, o son, that he's allowed to do. So again, these are all different ways of fattening up the animals. Umahalkitin litarnagolim tochmin ochel legrono. So we can force feed chickens, and the Gemara is going to try to clarify what this is all about, mal'itim, and what's the difference between chickens and other animals. And that's Malhitin Litarnagol. Vinosnim Mayim Lemurson. If you have klipos of chita, of garine chita, that was separated from the kernel by ktisha, and he wants to add water to mix that up, that's a very good animal fodder that you're allowed to prepare on Shabbos, sort of the bran, which is called Mursan, Avalo Govlin. But he cannot knead the bran and the water together, because here when he's preparing the food for his, you know, for his animal, for livestock, if you're only adding water to bran, that's not kneading. That's not considered one of the 39 Melachos of Lash. But if he kneads together the bran and the water, he stirs them, that's prohibited because of Meleches Lash, or at least on a Darbona level. Perhaps this is a Tirchi Yisera because, let's say, for example, in the case of chickens, they tend to stir the mixture themselves as they peck at it. You don't have to fix it and mix it for them. V'ein nosnim mayim lifnei dvorim v'lo yonim shebashovach. You're not allowed to place water before the bees or the doves in a dovecote. And once again, this might be because it's a tirchi yisera. They'll be able to find the water on their own. There might be another possibility here that the keeper here is not responsible for feeding them, and therefore becomes a Tirchi Yisera. And that might be true even if they couldn't find food on their own so rapidly. He writes here, Hatam Mishum Shabali Chaim Ela Ein Mizonoseim Olav. He's not responsible to feed them. Shareihem Yotzim Lisodim Nizodim Sham. They go out to the fields and they are able to support themselves, find their own resources, their own food. O Mishum Shamayim Mitzuyim Lehem B'Shefa B'Agam. There's plenty of water to be found, to be had, and therefore don't do any tircha that's not necessary. Avol nosnim mayim lifnei avozim v'tarnegolim. You are allowed to put water before geese and chickens. V'lifnei yonim hardisios, a certain kind of species of pigeons. Because heim shalo, these are his, umizonosav olav, he's responsible for their food. So they're fed at home. And they don't go out and look for food on their own. The keeper, therefore, he's obligated to provide them with food and water. And that applies even on Shabbos. Okay, the Gemara now is going to deal with different methods of feeding animals, as we saw in the Mishnah. What does the Mishnah mean? Ein ofsin, that you're not allowed to stuff a camel. Om Rabbi Yehuda, ein osim la avus betoch me'eha. Avus is the place where they put the food for the animal to eat. It's kind of like a trough. And now you're doing it betoch me'er. You're giving a massive amount of food against the will and force feeding the animal until you widen its stomach and make it into like an avus. So Gemara says, Mika ki hai gavna. Is it really something that we're aware of in out there in reality, that we feed the camels such a massive amount of food, of volume? And the Gemara says, this is actually something that you'll see out there. Kida Omar Rabbi Yirmiyah Midifti L'didi Chazeli, I saw Hahu Taya. Taya is an Arab merchant to us. The Achla Kora, that before he went out to the, you know, to the wilderness with his camel, he would feed his camel a large volume, a kur. Kur is a large, large volume. V'yat'ino kura. And he would then place a burden on the back of the camel that was also a kur. So we see that this practice of fast feeding vast volumes of against the will of the animal, right? Force feeding vast animals. A kur, by the way, is 30 saw, and a saw is 144 eggs. Imagine multiplying that by 30. Tremendous volume. Now the Mishnah says, "Ein ma'amirin esa golem aval mal'itin osam." So we're going to try to find out the difference. Ezohi hamra v'ezohi halta. Which one is hamra, which is forbidden, and which one is halta, that is permissible? Om Rabbi Yehuda, hamra, which means nesinas ochel bi'omek begrona shel behema. He forces the food all the way down the throat of the animal. It gets so far down the throat, it's impossible for the animal to cough it back up. Halta, that's only lemakom sheyichol lahachzir. You put the food in a place where the animal could regurgitate it. Rav Chisnomar, he has a different take on this than Rav Yehuda. Idi v'idi, both these terms, whether it's hamra or halata, refer to putting food, l'mokum sheni chol ha'achzir, all the way down the throat of the animal. So what is the difference? Ahevdo v'neim, shahamra'a b'kli, v'halata b'yad. That the word hamra'a is, when he fattens the animal, it's dafka b'kli, he uses some sort of an implement, probably a large spoon of some sort, and that's forbidden. But halata biyad, when he puts food down their throats, and that's done by hand, that the Mishnah permits. And in the note he writes, Kosva Mishnah Bura, Shahet Elahachal Asbehevel Amokum Shiachol Lahachzir. Eino Ela Kshu Nizhar Shalola Taltal Sabema Share Bali Chaim He Muktzim Yasur Mim Tiltal. So you have another issue to think about here when you're feeding the animal. Not only the issue of force feeding per se, but on top to boot, the fact that the animal itself is Muktzah, and when you put your hand inside the animal's mouth and force feed it, you got to make sure that you don't have contact with the animal. Masiv Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef quotes a braisa as a contradiction to what we saw before. Mahaltin litarnagolim v'eintzach lo mesher mal kitin. Which means that you're allowed to force feed chickens, and certainly you could feed them, but v'ein malkitin liyone shovach uliyone aliyah. Right, you cannot feed dovecotes, doves or attic doves. V'ein tzorch lomish ein mahalkitin. And it goes without saying that you're not allowed to force feed the animal. Umay malkitin. What does this word malkitin refer to? Which the Brisa says for sure is prohibited. Ilema, if we're going to interpret it, mahalkitin means the safe labia daim, that he has to feed the animal right by putting food right in his mouth. Umalkitin, and what does the word malkitin indicate? This shari le kamayu. What does it mean? The shadi le kamayu shematil ifnemas ochel. So we have two words here. One is mahalkitin, which means to feed it by pushing it into its mouth with your hands. And then there's malkitin, very similar, but the hay is dropped, is the shadele kamayu. They place the food in front of him. Matil lifneim es ha'ochel. Michlal, it would seem from this that the yonei shovach v'yonei aliyah, about which we said ein malkitin lahem, mishta kamayu namilo. We're not even allowed to put the food in front of these birds. And that's tamua. I mean, that's really something that's very difficult to comprehend. There's no tircha in this case. So why should it be asur? El alav, but rather the pirush mahalkitin, hainu shenose nesa'ocho begrono, the mokom she'eni yichol lahachzir, that's malkitin. Mahalkitin, and Malkitin means he puts the ochel makom sheyachol lahachzir, which is prohibited in the cases of the Yovei Shovach and the Yomei Aliyah, because he's not obligated to feed them. But if he leaves the food in front of them, that's mutter in any event, because that's not considered tircha. Now, if the Braisa, which permitted lahalkit, which we said was to put the food in its throat, in a place where it won't be able to regurgitate it, then certainly hal'ota, which in the case of agolim and gmalim should certainly be mutta. So michlal, tahamra, which the Mishnah itself prohibited, it means to feed it with a kli, and hal'ota, which was permitted, that's feeding it with his hands, is tiyuvta de Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda was one who said that hamra means putting the food into a place where the animal's throat, where it cannot regurgitate it. Mara says, Amalcha Rav Yehuda, li olam, it's true that we can interpret it, as we said originally, mahalkitin, de safile biyadayim, he puts it with his hand in a place where the animal could regurgitate. Malkitin de shadi lekamayu, he puts it in front of them. Udikar kashil, and if you'll ask me, is yone shovach yone aliyah, is lemishta kamayu nami lo, it should be osur, even to put the food in front of it. The answer is hani, in the case of tarnagolin, mizonosov alecha, and you have to put it, to provide it with food. So put it in front of them. Vahani, but yoni shovach in mizonos of alecha. And they have food out in the, ample food that acts accessible to them out in the fields, and therefore should not put the food in front of them. Kidisanya, nos the mizonos lifnei kelev, v'ein nos the mizonos lifnei chazir, u'ma efresh bein zel lezeh. Zeh, in the case of the kelb mizonosov alecha, that's why it's put to put the food in front of it. Zeh, but the case of chazir ein mizonosov alecha, right? The Mishnah says in Sota that or adam shemegadol mak chazirim, and therefore you're not allowed to put food in them in front of them on Shabbos. And the Gemara now brings a proof for Rabbi Yehuda's answer that we're not going to put mizonos in front of Bali Chaim Shei mizonos of Olav. Homer Rabbi Ashi Masnisa Nami Deka. We could really read this meticulous into the Mishnah, because it says Ein nos nemaim lifnei dvorim v'lifnei yonim shebeshov chavol nos lifnei avozim lifnei tarnagol lifnei yonei hardisios. My timer. Why is it then some cases mutter and some it's also? Lab mishum the honey, in the cases of the geese and the chicken and the yonim, then in his house ein motzui lahem mozum makomach, they don't have any access to food, and therefore mizonosav alecha, you're responsible to feed them, and therefore you're allowed to put water in front of them. But honey, in the case of yone hashovach, ein mizonosav olav, and therefore it's also to put mayim in front of them. So Gemara rejects this. Ulatai meich, according to your understanding, that you're not allowed to put mizonos in front of dvorim and yoni shovach, because mizonos seim einam olav, he's not chayiv to feed them, is my iria mayim. Why are you telling me that the Tana mentions only mayim? Afilu chiti usiori nami lo, even wheat and barley, you're not allowed to put in front of them because it's not mizonos of olav. Ela shiny maya dishchiche biagma, but rather it's a special din in mayim because there's plenty of water that's accessible to them, and they can get access to the water in the agam. So there's no proof from our Mishnah that you're not allowed to give mizonos in front of an animal which is a mizonos of olav. Could be that it's mutter, but nevertheless, in the case of mayim, where mayim mitzuyim lidvarim leoni shovach, that's also. Dorash Rabbi Yonah Apischa Devei Nesia, Yonah says something which he presents at the entrance of the Nasi. Ma'idiksiv, what does it mean in Mishle? Yodea Tzadik Din Dalim. Yodea HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bakelev Shemezonosav Mu'otim. Notice people don't have very much compassion for the dogs to give them too much mezonos. Lefichach Shoah Achilosav V'meyav Shloshi Yom. Takes 3 days until the canine, the dogs will finally digest their food, so it remains in their bellies for that long period of time. Kitisnan, we have a mishnah in the 11th chapter of Olos regarding which Bali Chaim eat Basar HaMes, which is Matami V'Oil. He says, as long as the Bal Chai, it calls Mancha Bal Chaim Chai, Ein HaBayis Nitma. Because we assume that if there was any basar, it would have been eaten up by the Bali Chaim. But when this Bali Chai dies, then we're going to be metami the bias. Im adayin lo nis'akel basar ha-mes b'meyav. We assume that the basar ha-mes is still being digested in its belly. And how long will it last in its stomach before it dies? Via bais tummy betumas oel, and therefore during this period of time the bais is tummy. Is bikelev is shloshi yom meisleis. If it hasn't passed 3 days, 72 hours, which is the amount of time it takes for the basar in the mayov to be misakel, to be digested, it's metabi bioil, will be ofis bedogim. If the birds or the fish ate besar mes, then the bais is tomeim lo sho kodem shmesu kidei shetipol lo ur v'tisarev. And that means the time that it would take for the tumah to be burnt up by the fire. Im shou shir zman zeh, ein habayis nitma bi'ol, afish habosar hispik lis'akel. So it's a very short period of time relative to the case of the dog. Om Rav Emnuna, since we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is makpid on the mezonos of shel hakelev, shmamina, orach ara lemishta umtza lekalva, it's acceptable behavior to throw a bone to a dog. V'kaman, how much do you throw to the dog? Omar Rav Mori, Meshach Udne, V'chutra Basre. In other words, it's the size of his ear, and immediately afterwards, he should give a smack, Hakov and Makil, so that it shouldn't follow him. But let's try to understand this statement of Rav Hemnuna when he says that there's a difference between umtza lekalva what does he mean by this? He says so the chunk, the size of the meat that he's throwing to a stray dog, it should be the size of its ear, followed immediately by the wrap of a stick. Okay. So you see from this Gemara that feeding even a stray dog is considered your responsibility, and you're allowed to do it even on Shabbos. The chunk should be a small one, as large as its ear, and one should immediately drive it away with a stick so that it should not begin to tag after its benefactor. And the Gemara says, Hani milu bedavra. This only applies out in the desert, which is an unpopulated area, aval b'mosa, in the urban centers, lo. Shouldn't throw any meat to the dog unless he's the owner of the dog. The osel and misrech, it will tag along with him, tag after him. And basically it will be a financial drain. Omar Papa, less the anya mikalva. There's no creature that's poorer than a dog. Less the anya mikhazira, and no creature wealthier than a pig. In other words, any kind of pig, any kind of food is suitable for a pig. So it comes by food and meals easily, and people tend to be accustomed to feed it abundantly. But not so in the case of a dog. Tanya Kavasi de Rabbi Yehuda. Now we have a braisa that supports the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that when it says in the Mishnah fattening is forbidden, that's referring to force feeding an animal by hand, when you put it down into its throat so far that it cannot regurgitate it, while putting food down into its throat, which the Mishnah allows, is a reference to placing the food in an area where the animal can still bring the food back up and regurgitate it. Eze hi hamra v'eze alta, which are fattening and which are putting food down their throats. Hamra marbitza upokes espia. Hamra, which is fattening, he brings the animal to its knees, props open its mouth in a way that the animal cannot close it, and he feeds it a kind of a bean, which is called karshinin, which is usually soaked in water, then it's used for animal fodder, and he puts it all in at the same time. So it means that the food is forcefully washed down the animal's throat so it cannot spit it up. He puts down the food into its throat and feeds it standing, waters it standing, without forcing its mouth open. And he gives it these beans separately, water separately. And as long as the animal is not kneeling, he cannot stuff the food very deeply in its house, into its mouth, and the animal can still spit it out. Now the Mishnah says, Mahalkitin litarnagolim, he can put food down the throats of chickens, and he can put water into that bran. He's not allowed to knead the bran and the water together. Rabaye amrisa kame demar. This is what I said in front of Rabba, is usually Mar, or it could be Rav Yosef. Masnisimani, who's the Tana's sheet is reflected in our Mishnah, that pouring water into bran is not a violation of the Mloch of kneading. Omar Li, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehudahi, and Rabbi Yossi's response was, it's Rabbi Yossi, the Sanya we learned in the Brice, Echad Nosein Esakemach, the Echad Nosein Lesocho Mayim, Ha'achron Chayav, Divei Rebbe, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehudah, Omeinu Chayav Achi Gabel. So pouring water into the flour, according to Rabbi Yossi, is not enough to violate the malacha of Lisha until he actually kneads the mixture together, making it into one entity, into one dough. And Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda holds that the malacha of Lisha requires kneading. And our Mishnah, which permits pouring the water into bran, that's reflective of the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, because he didn't knead them together, and without the gibel, without the kneading, it's mutter. So the Gemara questions this. Dilma, perhaps our Mishnah does not reflect Rabbi Yossi. Ad kan lo kom Rabbi Yossi Rabbi the Hossam el kemach. In the case of flour, just by adding the flour, that's not kneading, but that's a separate din in flour, to bar gibel, because the flour and the water lend themselves to kneading. Avol mursan de lav bar gibelhu, which is not kneadable. Now that means that you don't form some sort of a dough, one massive entity. Is a filu Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Modeh. Maybe Rabbi Yossi would concede that just adding the water to the bran is forbidden. That's already considered kneading, because it's a lav bar gibel. So when does Rabbi Yossi say you're not chayiv until you do gibel? That's if it's a bar gibel, like flour and water. But in the case of bran and water, it's a la bar gibel, and therefore Rabbi Yossi might redefine the malacha that you don't have to make it into a dough by kneading it, and you're chai for just putting the water together with the bran. So Gemara rejects this lo salka daitoch, impossible. To sanya behedya, we have a brisa that says explicitly, ein nosnimayim lamurson divri Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda omer nosnimayim lamurson. So Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda went on record as to say that you're allowed to mix the water into the bran. And even if it's a labar gibel, nevertheless, this is not considered lisha. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in the brisa, ein govlin es hakoli. We have this toasted bran, and you're not allowed to knead it with water on Shabbos. Yesh omrim govlin. So some say that you're allowed to do this. Man yesh omrim omar av chizda. Here on Kufnun Vav, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says that just adding water to flour is not considered lash. And he's only chayev after he does the actual kneading of the ingredients together to make a dough. And in this case, he's going to permit manual kneading. Hanimili huda mishani. But he does have to do a shinui. He shouldn't do it in the normal way. And again, you're talking about koli, which is toasted grain with water. And in such a case, it doesn't form a dough, and therefore it's mutter, but we do require a shinui. So Rabbi Yossi maintains that the malach of kneading requires kneading the mixture into a dough, and substances that cannot be kneaded into a dough, like toasted grain flour, are not subject to this iser, at least on a deraisa level, but mid rabbanan it's asur to knead even such a substance, and the Rabbanan will be matir if he does it in an unusual manner. Rebbe, on the other hand, holds the malach of kneading does not require the ingredients to be kneaded manually at all. Just adding the water, even to a non-kneadable substance, such as toasted grain flour, constitutes a violation of the malach of lash da'oraisa. So therefore, to do it in an unusual way is meaningless, because he already violated the prohibition by simply adding the liquid to the toasted grain flour. Eichi Mishani, what kind of a shini should he do? Amar Rav Chisda, yad al yad. He should need only a small amount at a time. And that's not the normal way in which you prepare a lot at one time. Vishavin, this is the end of the brisa, Shebochashin es hashosis b'shabes. Both the Tanakhama and Rav Yossi agree that one may stir shosis on Shabbos. So we'll see exactly what shosis is. He writes here with a spoon. Okay, that's equivalent to kneading. The shosin zesom ha-mitzri. They also agree that you could drink Egyptian zesom on Shabbos, even though very often it's used for medicinal purposes, but other people could also drink this potion. So the Gemara, with regard to stirring shasis, which even according to Tanakhama is mutter, va'amrit ein govlin, according to Tanakhama, you're not allowed to knead toasted grain flour. How could he now permit the stirring of shasis, which is also made, some sort of cereal that's made from toasted grain flour, lokasha, habi ova habaraka. When the Tanakhama asks kneading toasted grain flour, that's thick shasis, habaraba. The second ruling, which he permits it, that is thin shasis. So the malacha of lash applies only to a thick mixture, not to a thin, pourable mixture such as a batter. So according to Rebbe, you're not allowed to mix a thick shasis, but he concedes that you're allowed to stir a thin shasis. That's not included in the Isur D'oraisa of Lash. Again, he has to do it in a manner that deviates from normal kalachayat, as the Gemara is going to point out immediately. Ani mili hu demishani, fine. Hechi mishani, how is it? Omer Rav Yossi, bechol, what does he do normally during the week? No sin es hachomets v'yachach, no sin es hashosis. First he pours in the vinegar, and then only afterwards, sequentially, he pours in the shosis, meaning the flour. But b'shabbos, he should reverse the order. No sein es hashosis, v'acharkach no sein es hachometz. He first pours in the shosis, and only afterwards he pours in the vinegar. Levi berei de Rav Huna bar Chiyo ashkechei legabola de bein nashya. Levi discovered the mixer of the animal food in his father's estate, the kagavil v'safile l'tore. He was kneading bran and water on Shabbos, feeding it to his ox. His batashbe, Levi kicked him in disapproval. The Mishnah says that you're not letting him knead bran. No one argues with that. Osavua ashkechei, his father of Huna, came and found him. Omalei told his son, Hachi omar avuch de imech, mishmei de rav. Here's what the father of your mother said in the name of Rav. First of all, the Gemara takes a little bit of a digression. Umanu, who is that? That's Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba. And here's what he said in the name of Rav. Govlin velo maspin. One is allowed to knead bran for cattle on Shabbos, but not gorge them. So if he does it with a shinui in the normal way of kneading, and the Gemara will describe how to do this, then it's mutter. Udala lakit belishne, regarding a young calf that is not yet accustomed to feed itself with its own tongue, mahalki tinon le, one can force feed it, hani mili hu dimishani, but he has to do it with a shinui. Hechi mishani, what should be his deviation? Omer Rav Yemar bar Shlemi Mishmei d'Abaye Shesivi Erev. He should place his stick, which he stirs the mixture in, and move it crosswise. In other words, once vertically and once horizontally. He shouldn't mix it in any more than this very rudimentary stirring. And in this case, we don't allow him to mix the bran thoroughly, a little bit at a time, as we did in the case of Shasis, because Chazal allowed the exertion and the tirch of mixing thoroughly only when preparing food for people, but not preparing food for animals. And bran and water also are edible for animals, and all you need is a rudimentary mixing. People require to eat Shasis that it be mixed well. V'olo ma'arif shapir. So Gemara says, but mixing in this method is not effective to mix the bran and the water. Omer Rav Yehuda Minaro Likli. He should shake the vessel, which contains the mixture, shakes it up and down, and that's going to be a stirring, which is a shinui, and it will be effective. So we're up to Ksiv Apinkasei Dizeiri. Okay, so we're on Kuf Nun Vav Omid Aleph. Let's see if we can count down how many lines we got to. One second. This would be on the first of the wide lines.